welcome to Nakata Presents, the official, I think we can call it official, podcast for Nakata, the global community for academic advising. Nakata Presents takes a deep dive into relevant advising topics. Some of these episodes might be one-offs, or in the case of these first few episodes, a series on a topic that is heavily discussed in academic advising and professionally and personally connected to the person who is hosting this series, Dr. Quentin Alexander. But before we get to that, since this is the first episode and sort of preview episode, let's just give a very short backstory about this podcast. My name is Matt Markin from Cal State San Bernardino, and I've been co-hosting another advising theme podcast where we interview those in higher ed, specifically in advising, and we get to learn about their backgrounds and time in advising. Through those interviews, we touch on various advising topics. However, over the last few months, I've been thinking that as much as we touch on these topics, we don't get to necessarily spend a lot of time diving into these topics. So, of course, my thought was, why not just make another podcast? But not with me at the helm, but you, the ones doing the amazing work and are the experts. So with this podcast, you'll hear from me from time to time, but rarely. So around that time, Dr. Quentin Alexander reached out saying, hey, we within the first-gen advising community were thinking about doing something with podcasts around first-gen college students and advising first-gen students. So it was one of those cliche movie moments where you head into the third act and the stars align, everything comes together. So special thanks to Nakata EO for taking a chance on this, and especially to Karen Sullivan Vance, Michelle Holliday, and Lee Cunningham. And Quentin will talk a little bit more about how the podcast came about and this new series. But let me introduce you to Quentin Alexander, who is a senior director of advising for undergraduate education at George Mason University. Before assuming this position, he was the associate professor in counselor education in the College of Education, Human Services at Longwood University, and coordinator of the College Counseling and Student Affairs track. Previously, he held a tenure track assistant professor position in counselor education at Virginia Commonwealth University. He holds both a BA in therapeutic recreation and master's in special education and literacy from UNC Chapel Hill, a master's in education and community and agency counseling from North Carolina State University, and a PhD in counselor education and supervision from Virginia Tech University. He specializes in multicultural issues in advising, counseling, and student affairs, and has taught courses in introduction to counseling profession, theories in counseling, career counseling and development, multicultural counseling, internship in clinical mental health counseling, group counseling, college student development services, and supervision and administration in clinical mental health and higher ed settings. Quentin, my friend, take it away.
Wow. Okay. So it's kind of interesting to hear your background and words, right? So this is exciting. I'm so happy that we're able to do this. And, you know, as Matt was saying, you know, my background is in clinical mental health and special education and counseling with a concentration in student affairs. And so first gen is really a passionate topic for me. I was a first gen student, though at the time in the early 80s, the term didn't exist, or at least I didn't know it existed. I just knew that I had a particular struggle that my other peers did not have. And throughout, over the course of the years, I became introduced to the first gen terminology and the background and characteristics, and identified strongly with it and began doing research and working with students in this area. And now it is a very strong passion of mine. How do we work with first gen students? So there's been lots of information out there, good information, good research about first gen students. But none of this information has talked to us about how to advise first-gen students. What sort of things can we do as academic advisors to really make that pathway to degree completion smooth for these students and help them understand the opportunity that they have, work with them in a way that is meaningful and that helps them achieve that final goal. So that is how this podcast came along, because I've been interviewed twice in the podcast with Matt, and I said, Matt, you know, I said, really, you know, I think this would be great. You know, I said, I just got elected chair for the first gen student advising community, and we're thinking of ways to get information to our audience in a way that they can access it easily. I said, this podcast would be great as a series. And so we wanted a discussion with EO, and here we are. And so I'm so happy and delighted that we're able to provide this information. And today we're just going to talk a little bit about how we envision this podcast coming along, what types of things we want to talk about. But the biggest thing we talked to discuss was this idea of theory to practice with first-gen students. And then we also got into the topic of people are doing a lot of things with first-gen students right now they don't realize actually is connected to theory. They're just doing what they know is right for these students, but it's connected to the theory. So how do we make this more intentional? So today I have with me two of my team leads in our first-gen advising community who really are going to be the heartbeat of what the community does. Okay, so we have Wanda Reyes Dawes, who is the team lead for best practices in advising first-gen students in our community. And she is currently a counselor and academic advisor, and she's the coordinator for advisor training and development at Manchester Community College in Manchester, Connecticut. She currently is a doctoral candidate in higher education at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts, and she holds a master's in counseling with the focus in student development and higher education from Central Connecticut State University. Second, we have Dr. Jacqueline Jackie Thomas Miller, who is our team lead for research and scholarship in the community. She has a doctorate in educational leadership. She is currently the director of advising and retention at Purdue University, and she's also a former public school administrator. So welcome to the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us. And what I'm going to do is let the two of them talk about themselves a little bit and what they do with first-gen students and what their interest is, and then what they would like to see as a result of this podcast. So Wanda, why don't we start with you? Just tell us a little bit about yourself and just tell us what you want us to know.
Sure. Good afternoon. My name is Wanda Reyes Dawes, as Quentin just shared, and I'm very excited to be part of this podcast. And a little bit about myself is, first of all, first and foremost, I am a very proud first gen myself. And I'm also a non-traditional student, as higher ed would categorize me as a non-traditional student. I started at a community college and after 30 credits realized that business management was not for me, in the sense that I did not feel I wanted to be in a cutthroat environment. And as a familiar person in my life said to me back then, is that helping others was an extension of my soul. And I took that to heart and ended up transferring my 30 credits to Springfield College in Springfield, Massachusetts, where I did weekend college for adults, and finished at the ripe age of 39 with honors, also being a mom and a wife and a full-time professional. Then I ended up going to a master's program at Central, where I finished in 2 years going to work full-time, part-time, and having a 16-year-old who I promised that I would graduate before he did. And as life would have it, I graduated in May 2005 with my master's degree. And my son was 18 and graduated in June 2005 from high school. So that was a great, great accomplishment for my son to also be able to see. I have always had, I should say, always, since I started to go back to school myself, I had to take breaks, obviously, as an adult. It took me almost 10 years to finish my bachelor's degree because of those adult responsibilities. And it was a wonderful feeling to be able to have my parents and my siblings there when I was able to graduate with my bachelor's degree. First in my family, I'm the oldest of three brothers. And so that was a great accomplishment in more ways than one. And my interest is that I don't ever really want any particular student to ever feel the way I felt when I was going to school. I never went home and asked questions because I did not want my parents to feel that they could not answer my questions. I did not want them to feel embarrassed. And so I did a lot of, because of the type of person I am, a lot of searching on my own. But I did feel a sense of lack of belonging at my college, especially at the community college. I basically went in, did my classes, went home, was not able to participate in any activities because, of course, an adult, non-traditional student. But I did not feel like I belonged in so many ways, and it was very hurtful to me. It's just that I was someone who was always encouraged to keep going, no matter what happened in my life. And I've had wonderful parents, wonderful siblings, and a great support system. But when it came to college, that felt, it was a very lonely journey for me. And so I don't ever want any student while I'm alive to ever have to feel that way. And so to me, I think it's critically important that our first generation students do feel a sense of belonging. And the way we advise our students is critically important that they do feel that they do belong, that they matter, and that they have a right to be where they are, which is seeking their own educational dreams. So I will leave it at that, Quinton, for now, so we can get to Jackie, if that's all right.
Well, thank you so much. That is such an inspiring story, and pretty much kind of tells the story, my story as well, because I remember thinking about when I was going to go back to get my PhD, and it was when my son graduated high school, and I always had this conversation with him that when you finish your high school degree, I'm going to go back and do my PhD. And a lot of that was because he, you know, I was going into this doctoral program as a first gen student, not knowing what a doctoral program is like, right? So yeah, so thank you for that story. I think many of us have these similar stories that connect us. And so next we have Dr. Jackie Thomas Miller. So Jackie, if you'll just tell us about yourself, your interest in working with first gen students, and anything else you'd like for us to know.
Thank you so much, Quinton. And just like you and Wanda, I am also a first generation college graduate. It was so important to my family to have me be the first to graduate from college, because it was one of those things where I was a teenage mom, and we in the 1970s just knew that was it. And I was told by my high school counselor that because I was a teenage mom, I should not go to college. I would be best as an executive or as a secretary. And of course, I said, okay, if I'm going to be a secretary, I'm going to be the best secretary. And that's when I said, I'm going to be an executive secretary. But once I got into junior college, I just saw that I was a little bored. I said, there has to be so much more in store for me. You know, why do I have to have my dreams be dissolved because I'm a mother? So what I did was I went to the counselor and I shared, I need a job. I need to get a job because I have some other missions ahead of me. And of course, went to my first interview, was hired on at this radio station as a billing clerk. And I mean, I was the best billing clerk there was. And I was just zooming through all my work. And my manager came to me and he said, Jackie, if you don't slow down, I won't have any other work for you. So I just sat there, paced myself. And then he brought me into his office and he said, Jackie, why are you here? And I said, what do you mean? He said, why aren't you in college? I said, well, you know, my high school counselor shared with me that, you know, I have my daughter and it's going to be so tough for me to go to school, 4-year college. He said, what were your dreams when you were growing up? I said, I wanted to go to Jackson State University. And here I lived in Toledo, Ohio. My parents had moved to Ohio. And he said, I think you need to pursue your dreams. And that's all I need to hear. I went home, filled out that application, and the rest is history. Me and my daughter packed our bags and we went off to Jackson, Mississippi, and the rest is history. And I give you that basis, that foundation of where I am today, because this is how I talk to my students. I tell my students when they come into my office and I'm advising them and I'm talking to them and I'm hearing all of the barriers and hurdles they have, I share my story. I share my story because I want them to know it is possible. My parents were so proud that I pursued my dreams. I was the first in my family to graduate from college. And it was just so, when I walked across campus, you would have thought somebody had given me the Medal of Honor just to walk on that campus. That's how I felt. And I tell my students today, if we had the resources, if we had any of the resources that we have available to you today, or the conversations that you are able to have with your advisors, who knows where I would have gone earlier. So I want to be that vehicle in a student's life that I can give hope. And that's what I want to give as part of, this is my first assignment as the team leader of the Search and Scholarship Committee. I am so honored to just be a part of this inaugural podcast, because it's my hope that in the advising community that will bring more awareness. Because it wasn't until 2 years ago at an ENN conference, and ENN is Indiana Academic Network, that the two Ashleys from the University of Indianapolis had this workshop where they talked about the first generation college student celebration. And everyone in the room, they said, how many people have ever heard of this? No one raised their hand. And 2 years ago, and of course it had just started in 2018. However, it was, if I had not gone to that particular workshop, I would have never known. Of course, I bring it back to my campus and it was full steam ahead. And my dean latched on. She brought it on as an initiative in the College of Education. Purdue University saw the importance of also having it campus-wide. And we had our first-generation college student symposium. We had it in January 2020, and it off we went. And that's why my title changed. I used to be the director of advising and recruiting. Now I'm the director of advising and retention, because one thing we know is that we have to be able to retain not only any of our students on campus, but most importantly, our first generation college students. We need to be able to retain them. And that's what my hope is now, is to bring awareness through this podcast, to continue the conversation among our advising community, and also bring more research into this area. There is not enough research. And like Quentin said, we're doing these things. We just don't know it. We don't realize that the practices we have in place right now applies to theory, but we just don't know it. So we have to bring more awareness so we can have all of these resources and research conducted, and so that we can move forward in the advising community to do what we need to do for our students.
Yes, absolutely. That was incredibly inspiring. Wow. To hear that story and to know that, I mean, just I think about the three of our stories and how many stories out there that exist just like that, of students that walk through our doors each day on college campuses, and each has a different story. And so, you know, I'm excited to work with this group to be able to disseminate this type of scholarship to our community. And to other communities about first-generation college students. Because, you know, just like what you experienced, Jackie, there's not much development on my campus, and it's the largest state university in Virginia for first-gen students. We have an incredibly large population of first-gen students. And what I see is all of the hoopla surrounding celebrating first-gen students. I always go back to the foundation of academic advisor, the central to getting those students across that stage, helping them understand policy.
Absolutely.
Caring about them beyond the prescriptive nature of advising as we experienced it, looking at that whole person, what strengths they bring to that college, to the college university. And that is what is exciting to me about the fact that so many people will hear this podcast and can gain this information and can contribute to this podcast as well. So it's going to be exciting to work with everyone doing this. I see Wanda nodding. Wanda was, through your whole narrative, she was nodding. It's like, yep, there's affirmation there. We've all experienced this. And so I know what I would like to see come from the podcast is just more people become interested in research and scholarship in this area. I want people to understand that research does not always mean they need to go out and conduct a quantitative or qualitative study. There are different types of research you can do and different types of scholarship that gets this information out and specifically about advising. I think I was working on an article for the Nakata Review that I plan to submit in a couple of months, and I did a content analysis of all the higher ed journals, including Nakata, about to see what type of articles were out there on advising first-generation students. I think I found maybe three or four, and they were not very they were older articles, right? I found multiple dissertations that had not been published in the form of manuscripts. And so I contacted those people that I could get in contact with and encouraged them to turn those dissertations into manuscripts that could be submitted for publication because it was important information. So, yeah. Wanda, what would you like to see come from this podcast?
What I would hope, Quentin, and yes, I was nodding, and at one point I almost felt like my tears were going to flow, but they were sort of, I would say, supportive, hopeful tears, simply because our stories are not unique in the sense that too many of our students, both in the past and current, and those that will come behind, have experienced similar experiences that we have as first-gen students. And a lot of times, what I have found in my practice in terms of working with students and advising students is that unless you have a one-on-one conversation with them, this is not information that's going to be freely shared. And if you put a perspective of a cultural lens, you will also find that not every student is going to feel comfortable sharing information, whether that's, you know, culturally. So my parents are from Puerto Rico. I was born and raised in Connecticut. And, you know, we were taught, and even to this day, I'm 57, probably 57, because it's a blessing to be alive, is that, you know, the direct eye contact piece, that was not something that we were taught to do. If anything, we were taught that you do not look at people eye to eye, because it was, in our culture, it was, or and still is in many parts, very disrespectful, because you do not look at, especially adults, because there was a big deal about adults. You do not face adults face to face. You always respect adults, whether they were your family members or there were people, you know, in the community. You just did, you made sure you respect it. So over the years, I've had to work through that piece. But what I'm hopeful is that with the podcast, first of all, I consider it one of the most prominent ways of communicating these days, but also that our first generation advising community understands that, one, we're here for them. Two, research is not a bad word. And as you said, Quentin, it is already actually being done. Practitioners, our colleagues are actually doing the work. They're just not looking at it from a lens of it can become a scholarly inquiry, right? And so that's what we also would like to encourage. And we'd like to find out more about our first generation community members, because we'd like to help in that process. So for example, you know, I feel very honored that I was appointed to be the best practices lead just recently, and I'm very, very happy about it. And I'm hopeful that I can bring a new way of getting information on best practices throughout our country, throughout our Nakata global network, because I think the more we know about what others are doing that's working, that's achieving results, then we can emulate those same things and even tweak it so that it works best in our particular institutions. Because in our first generation community, you know, we are private institutions, public, 2 years, 4 years. And I think it's important that we know about all of the practices that are out there that we can hone in on and make sure that others know what's going on and how we can best benefit from that. And most importantly, as you will always hear me say, it's about our students. And whatever translates into our learning and our experiences, that's going to be a fruitful way for us to be able to share that experience and that knowledge with our students. And I'm really hopeful that the community will be open to sharing and to communicating with us, to asking questions of us. And I always tell my students, and I'm not shy to say it, what I don't know, I will go out and find out for you. Because there's nothing wrong with saying you don't know. It's just a matter of stay committed to your word. If you say you're going to find something out, make sure you go out there and do it. Because our students in particular, all students, but first generation students in particular, They hang on to every word and every commitment we make to them. So we need to follow through. And lastly, I would like to simply say that I think that our community, and I'm going to say this very jokingly, but I mean it as well, is that we are the first generation advising community. And there's a reason why we're called first, not just because it's first generation, but because we are first in making sure that what we do is for the best interest of our collective students and for ourselves as colleagues. Thank you.
Yeah, very nice words. I hold on to the piece where you talk about communication. And this is one of the things, because we know that, you know, based on research, most first generation students are the racial or ethnic minority students. And that communication piece is key. How we communicate with them is very important. I giggled when you said, because in your community, to look in an adult's eyes is disrespectful. I'm thinking, yes, in the Black community, if you did not look in your parents' eyes, it was seen as a sign of disrespect. But knowing those nuances, right, understanding how to communicate with those students, I can tell you a story right now of an advisor that I worked with before, not at my current university, who was really just the stories that this advisor had about the fact that she felt nervous because this Black gentleman was looking her in her eyes and she felt threatened. And I was like, he was a first generation kid who I had worked with actually, and had done role playing with about how to approach his advisor, because he was not going to go. He felt he didn't need to be there. As a matter of fact, his story about his advisor was, I can't go see her during office hours because I'll disturb her. That's her time to do her work. That was his understanding of office hours. Right. So I had to explain that to him. We role played and he went in the office and he goes, she acted really strange. You know, like I was like she was afraid of me or something. It was an interesting story. So there are nuances to working with teaching advisors how to communicate with those who are different than they are, and particularly with our first generation college students as well. So I think that this is going to be a great podcast. Yes, Jackie.
What I was going to share, Quentin, thank you so much, is that we have to be intentional in our advising community. You know, we know that we have to meet with our students, especially our first generation college students, more than once or twice every semester just to talk about a schedule. We want to have those touch points throughout the semester just to make sure that they are okay. And it's those touch points that encourage that young student. Oftentimes, you know, we've had student forums or panel discussions with first generation college students. And we had students who talked about how much they appreciated having that connection, having that constant line of communication and support from their advisor. And we just don't know the power that we have as advisors. And that's why I just feel that with this podcast, we will continue the conversation, just share with our colleagues how important we are in our role in relation to our first generation college students.
Absolutely. So this is exciting that this series is starting. I know already I've had interest from other people from within NACADA and outside of NACADA who want to come on and be guests working with DACA students who are first-generation students, those working with racial ethnic minority students, working with first-generation student athletes. There's so many populations of first-generation students that we encounter through advising. It's overwhelming the response about what people want to share about what they're doing. I'm excited that we're able to disseminate that information. So I guess we can have everyone just stay tuned until we have the first podcast. Thank you for agreeing to appear on this podcast to let us know about your passions and what we can look forward to from the first generation college student advising community in terms of research and scholarship and best practices. And with that, I think that we are at the end of our time here. So, Matthew.
All right. We hope you enjoyed this first episode of NACADA Presents podcast. We look forward for you to check out future episodes and find this podcast soon on all your favorite podcasting platforms. And make sure to follow NACADA on social media, Instagram @NACADA Community, Twitter @NACADA, and Facebook at Nakata, the global community for academic advising. Take care, Nakata family, and keep advising.